Podtacular Episode 13, Grenade Power and Burial Mounts.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Please, don't shake the light bulb. Oh, ooh, roadkill!
Guys, this is Spellcheck here.
And this is Fumo Jive. And
we're doing a show on a Tuesday.
Yep. This is Podtacular, the unofficial Halo 2 podcast.
Yeah. Tuesdays. Oh, this is weird.
Yeah, the shows are getting split up, if you hadn't already noticed. And this one covers...
Yeah, I think you have, probably.
Yeah, you probably figured that out by now.
Because you're smart.
This one covers general tips, and we're going to be covering lots of tips about grenades, and also going to be covering Map of the Week, so this is going to be the longest of the shows.
Ooh, I'm guessing like 3 hours of stuff.
Definitely
right here.
Not that long, but there probably is 3 hours worth of stuff here.
Put your seatbelt on. Get strapped in for the ride.
Yep, tray tables, upright and locked position, because you know you don't want to get impaled by a tray table.
Yeah, all right. Well, don't delay. Let's start today.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we got some tips here from... Here's one from Big Lou. He says, practice makes perfect whenever you have downtime and aren't online. Play lots of custom games by yourself. Memorize everything. Weapons, spawn points, geometry, mathematics, lines for the play you're in. Everything! Memorize it!
Yeah.
He spent a good 2 weeks completely reverse engineering each level. And now he has at least 10 escape routes for every major area in each level. In any such situation, he is confident he can run away without being
killed.
Very
cool.
You know? If you have the time, practice, man.
Yeah.
Because no one just wants to run into like a corner and go, oh, this is the get for me. Look for those carny holes and stuff to get out of that little hole you dug for yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Good point, Big Lou.
Thanks, Big Lou. And on to another one from Steven Ryland here. He says, just so you know, a really good way to practice headshots with the BR is to make a game type with no shields and BRs only. This pretty much forces you to aim for the head. And there's actually a matchmaking game. I don't know if it's a matchmaking game, but there's a game type for this commonly called SWAT, which some people might know about. So practice some SWAT and shoot for the head.
Might have heard of it. One comes from Quality Jeverage. That's such a cool name.
Yeah.
If you're on a map in which you can fall off an edge and die, don't jump. I'm just kidding. Never did that. He said, there's a good way to take out the sword guy to left short. Get him to chase you and back away from him. And when you're near the edge, jump off it. And maybe he'll be dumb enough to try and ledge and fly off the edge. You mean you're going to die, but he's going to die too.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to respawn. And maybe you can pick it up and win the game. Unless you're playing like Team Flag. And then it's not really going to help you too much because it's not worth kills. But anyways, thanks, Quality Jeverage.
Yeah.
I'm rambling.
Of course, if he doesn't, lunge after you, then you just fall off the edge and he laughs at you. Anyway, classic rock guy writes in. He said he had a question. When you press the white button, he was asking if only your teammates can hear you, even if you're in vicinity of someone. So he was asking if the vicinity... sound, like the sound that comes out of your speakers, still applies even when you press the white button. And the answer to that is yes.
That's just, you press white so all your teammates can hear you. I was in a base once and I didn't think that applied. I'm like, I'm in the base, like, there's a blue guy in our base! And I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, so even if you press the white button, people can hear you if they're in vicinity.
They can still hear you.
So keep that in mind.
Or just like just try a little bit of I'm sneaking in the front of their base, so they go to the front,
yeah.
Have like mind molestation.
Throw some red herrings out, give them a little bit of false information.
Molest their minds is what you got to do.
Yep. So Classic Rock Guy also says that if you're in a level such as Lockout or Ascension, where you can fall to your death and you have the sniper. Let's see, you have the sniper. A good thing is to not let the other team have it. What he means is that if you're about to die, try to jump off with a sniper so that the other team can't get it, because the sniper owns in almost every level. Also, when you have the flag, don't drop it to walk faster unless you're under heavy fire, because if you're not under heavy fire, it's probably because the other team doesn't know where you're at. So when you drop the flag, you're telling them your exact location. And of course, if you do the throw the flag, pick it up, throw the flag, pick it up, it's like a flashing symbol that says, hey, I'm over here, come get me. So if you don't want to do that.
Yup. Unless you're going to be like one of those really big giant clans that, like, they're just gay with a GH, and they just jump and throw it, jump and throw it, jump and throw it, jump and throw it, until they, like, just totally got it across waterworks in about a
second. It's pretty cool the way they do that, though.
It is cool, but, like, it's like, wow, they're totally not being gay with a GH.
G-H-E-Y.
Yeah.
Yeah, it suck.
It just, it makes me so mad that I want to commit suicide. Well, you know what? I've just had it. Okay, you know what?
Suicide.
Okay, I'm better.
Good. Well, welcome back.
Anyways. Yeah.
Glad you're okay.
I got new suit of armor. It's good.
It's got that new armor smell.
All right.
So on,
got that new tip smell from Slappy Duck. Halo is really a game of teamwork. Assists and kills are both the same outcome for your team. So don't worry about double teaming or triple teaming. You're all getting the points as a team. You know what I mean, Vern? You know? Yeah, you know what I mean, Vern? And also, before we get out of the general tips, I got some rumor control to take care of.
Go for it.
I've heard rumors about how, hey, if you sit there and wait for a second, Master Chief does a little animation where you, like, pushes the ammo in farther with the gun. Apparently some people have said, hey, that makes your gun more powerful. No, it's total junk. Total BS. By BS, I mean
bull snot.
Snot.
Bull snickers.
Grodiness. Bull sandwich.
Bull sandwich is nice.
Anyways, it's not true. Even if they say that it's done it. If it does, it's not going to make a big enough difference to where, you know, it made the rocket more powerful to kill somebody. Oh, look, my sniper to the head worked better.
Yeah,
it's not true. It's just kind of trying to make you a sitting duck so they can go whack you in the back.
Yep. Well, on to our grenade power section here. We have tons of great tips for grenades for you guys, and lots of great stuff, so let's get started.
But before we get into the tips, though, Fumo had the opportunity to get an interview with Spuzzum from these Sticky Style videos, and so here it is.
All right, guys. Well, we got an interview here with Spuzzum from the Sticky Style videos, featured on HBO and a couple other places. How's it going, Spuzzum?
It's going pretty good. Thank you very much.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for appearing on the show. We appreciate it. And kind of wanted to ask you a couple questions about Sticky Style and how that got going there. So, what is Sticky Style, and how did you get the idea?
Well, it started a long time ago. I've always enjoyed watching Mike Miller's Halo 1 videos, the Legend 2. So I figured I wanted to do something like that, something cool. And so I decided to make my own little Halo 1 montage, or Halo 2 montage, in the campaign. And I was going to submit it to HBO, and they asked for a name. And I didn't have a name for my movie yet. And so I took a look back through it a couple of times, and I saw that I had a lot of sticky grenades in there. So naturally, I figured I'd make a name around that. So I chose the name Sticky Style, and that just sort of went on from there.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, it's cool that with all the montages out there and all the different videos that people make, it's cool that you have one that's specific to something that, you know, not everybody does. You know, because they have, like, so many that are sniping and kill tacklers and this, that, and the other, but, you know, it's cool that yours are, like, all kinds of crazy sticks, like, long distance and all that stuff. It's pretty cool. Did you do multiple takes to do this, or were they all in, like, one take?
Yeah, some of those shots were actually just one take, and that was it, and it was finished. But a lot of them, you just have to keep at it until you get it looking great. Some of them, if you take a look at the very last clip, that was actually the first one that I got. And, you know, the first time I get up there, I'm like, hey, this is a good spot to make a stick. And so, you know, I throw my grenade down there, and I just make the worst miss that you could ever possibly make. It was nowhere near the guy. Wow. And so I just went back at checkpoint, and I tried it again, and I tried it again until I actually got it working good.
Nice. Cool. Well, I bet that's really good for figuring out the range on the stickies as well, huh?
Yeah, it really helps develop your sticking skill if you just keep trying it over and over again. You get used to all the little nuances of sticking.
Hmm. Cool. Well, what would you? What kind of tips would you give people for sticking, like within multiplayer?
Within multiplayer, basically try and always predict where they're going to be, because your sticky grenades are always going to take a little time to get there. And it's a lot harder in multiplayer because people are a lot less predictable than AI. So you really have to keep practicing. Just keep practicing. And eventually, you'll figure out some of the little nuances. It'll become sort of instinctual of how far you have to throw it and how far ahead you should be.
Okay. Cool. Okay. How about tips on sticking while you're being chased?
While you're being chased? Try and find some cover and wait till somebody just comes through the door. Try and predict how long it will be before they get to the door, and just try and throw a grenade and catch them by surprise.
Sweet. How about some tips specifically for long-distance sticking?
Long-distance sticking? That's just mostly luck, because really you can't predict much if they're going to move left, if they're going to move right, if they're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. It's best if you just keep throwing grenades down there, and you might be able to damage them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. How about, like, for instance, in midship, when someone's coming up into the base, and I see people sometimes, as they're coming down, the person at the bottom throws a grenade up and sticks them. Can you give us any tips on either when you're falling from a jump, sticking people on the ground, or, you know, sticking upwards, like, towards people that are falling?
Well, that's just mostly practice as well. Just make your own game types. Just keep doing stuff like that. Make game types with only one weapon and lots of grenades. And just keep practicing with your friends, and you should get better at it.
That's cool. Any special tips on sticking vehicles?
Vehicles, always aim ahead and try and get them as they're coming around corners or as they're turning, because usually they slow down a little bit during that point.
As they're turning around, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And what advice would you give to people that want to make a montage?
If you want to make a montage, spend lots of time on it. Always spend the extra bit on your montage to make it looking good. You can never spend too much time on a montage.
Cool.
Yeah, you always want to, just do that extra little bit. Go the extra mile and make it extra special.
Great. All right, well, thanks, Buzzum. Appreciate the interview there, and hope to see you on live sometime.
All right, thanks.
All right, later.
Bye.
Now let's get back to those tips, huh?
First one comes from Wojimahoitz. Sticking that annoying banshee is one of the most glorifying things you can pull off. Practice with those sticky grenades. He prefers stickies rather than frags because they do more damage, and he finds them easier to use. Think of them as mines, and he tries to throw them so that the enemy will not see them as they come around a corner. Use them to limit an enemy's options. For example, throw a plasma behind them and charge them in front with a short-range weapon. It's generally best not to try and stick people, but plasma grenades are very effective for sticking light vehicles if used properly. Practice, practice, practice.
It's crazy. It's crazy cool. Anyways, Big Lou writes in to us, and he says he considers himself to be one of the better nade throwers and meleeers on Xbox Live, and he owes this all to constant practice. For nearly 2 weeks, he played no other game type other than team training. And while playing, he would restrict himself from firing even once. He would try to end the game with zero shots fired. It's not fun. Not only is it fun, but it helps you rub your opponents in with your 0% accuracy, but it helps your nade placement and melee timing exponentially.
Cool.
That sounds kind of fun. I actually want to go do that now.
Yeah, just like limit yourself to only grenades, just to get
after the show, I'm going to go play training. Not going to shoot. Not Gonna shit.
Cool.
Whacking nades.
So, Three Thumbs writes in, he says, if you're host, you can grenade jump by throwing a grenade and jumping over it as it explodes. You have to be at the right distance from the grenade when it explodes to be able to do it without dying. But and it works, you know, with both sticky and frag grenades. I find it works better with sticky grenades because you can know exactly where they're going to land.
Yeah, just be careful when you throw those plasmas.
Yeah.
And you jump right on top of them.
Yeah, you got to know the fuse
sometimes
timing.
Yields suicide.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Sound like me.
Yep.
Anyways, Ray J2 says, like, learn how to stick to with plasma grenades. For the most part, that really just involves the fact that you're paying attention. You actually choose the plasma grenades. I can't count how many times I've thrown a frag, bounced right off their chest, because I wasn't paying attention about which one I had selected.
Yeah.
So just make sure you have on the correct one first, and then try and aim before you throw. Instead of throwing randomly, because you'll end up sticking it more often if you try and hit them first. Plasma grenades can also damage lighter vehicles like the Ghost and Warthog. If you use that as an alternative, your team doesn't have access to a rocket launcher, which is like really good because if you're playing a map like Relic,
yeah.
if they're taking the Warthog up and you don't have time to go to the rockets, just get two guys with plasma grenades, stick that Warthog that's coming up, blow it right off, triple kill, guarantee
yep.
it, guarantee.
You just gotta hit him with two plasma grenades.
Yeah, it's gotta be able to throw those stickies, and also on games like Assault or CTF, stick a plasma grenade on the flag or bomb. You know, they walk near, boom! And finally, if you're stuck, don't go running away, suicide bomber man. Charge at the person who stuck you, while still firing, of course. And hope that if you go down, you might take someone else with you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Tell me, bro.
That's right. Thanks, Red J, too.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Halo Nader writes in, he says, if timed properly, you can get a grenade to propel another grenade a great distance across the map. And the way this works...
Ooh, I used to do that in Halo 1. I'd make fireworks with plasma.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's a little different now. You throw the first grenade, wait about half the time of the fuse, and then throw a second grenade so that it passes over your first grenade as it's detonating. So it has to be, it's like in the air when the other one goes off, and then it goes flying, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes some practice.
It's still fun,
but,
though.
But he finds it very helpful on large maps such as Burial Mounds and especially Coagulation, where you can actually reach the other team's base with a grenade from your own base with relative ease. That's pretty interesting. That'd be cool to get really good at that, so you can actually aim those secondary grenades over.
I actually have a really funny story about that. I was playing at Coagulation once as a big team battle game. I actually did that, and like I threw one like, just like right afterwards. And it shot the grenade forward, and it hit a Warthog, stuck it, and like it like made it like do like three backflips and just killed everyone.
Nice, wow.
And I was laughing so hard, I didn't see the guy come up behind me and whack.
That's pretty awesome, though.
Oh boy, it was amazing.
It'd be worth it just to get that stick.
Oh man, that was funny. I wish I had a capture card for that. That was amazing.
Hillinger says the tip works best if the grenade you're using as a booster is a frag grenade, and the grenade you're boosting is a plasma grenade.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Cool.
I threw a frag, and then I threw a plasma.
Cool.
So, yeah. Feeble Mongoose writes in, this is about nades on vehicles. Use the plasma vehicles and the cubby, plasma grenades on the cubby vehicles to kill a Wraith, and I know it's tempting to throw a sticky in a Warthog, but human nades work better on flipping vehicles, and because a lot of Covenant vehicles float, frags are more effective on human vehicles because it actually can get a full damage on the Warthog if it drives over it, rather than a Ghost driving over because it floats right over, and taking minimal damage. Stickies will linger on the floating Covey vehicles, meaning that it will do a full damage because it is attached to it. Now, why not use a sticky in a Warthog? Because you'll probably try and stick the hood, which does less damage sticking it on the side because it moves so fast. That's why we have to use like two or three. And you probably stick the hood, and the hood is the second strongest Warthog part next to the turret. It takes 10 sniper shots on an unoccupied Warthog to blow it up. 8 on the hood and 6 on the wheel. So the wheel is the ideal sticking place if you have stickies, but I prefer frags. And it's really funny if you can get those wheels. You see like a whoo spinning around. Oh boy. It's
pretty cool.
Anyways. He also says that nade to get weapons, and he said that One more, learn the nade points. Sometimes you can find them on the internet, but what he means is, like, he can get the sniper from the sword spawn and lock out with one nade, and a lot of people can do that. It's just, you gotta get it right, otherwise it's gonna knock it. This is the tip, and you won't be able to get it off, and many more on various levels. Just need to know where to throw them.
Right.
So, yeah. Thanks, Feeblemongus. Good stuff.
Yeah. Gemini Ace writes in, he says he has a quick story about sticky grenades. He was playing a Slayer game on Colossus. He saw a guy running from the grav lift, and he was up by where the flag spawns on, or the flag plant spot is on CTF games. He lobbed a sticky grenade at him as a reflex, and it sailed down and stuck right to his ankle. He hit the lift and exploded like a armor-clad bottle rocket. It was awesome. That sounds pretty cool, man. That'd be pretty neat to see.
That's funny. Funny stuff.
Yeah. What?
Taekwon Ken says to us, he says, frags are his most favorite thing ever, because you can just chuck them anywhere, and on small maps like Warlock, probably like the best thing in the game, and really, like, you just walk into grenades on those small maps, it'll kill you. Especially on Lockout, because there's rooms.
Oh, yeah.
And you just walk right into all those grenades.
Yep.
Anyways, he says, if you see enemies, don't rush in for a firefight, soften them up with a grenade, and then go in. If you're losing a medium-range firefight, look at the ground about halfway between the two of you and bounce as many frags as you can before dying. He says he does this, and he gets kills for his nest about half the time, and the rest of the time he can usually take out his shields, and his team can finish the kill off, and these are the best weapons for assaulting an enemy's position, like on the top floor of his ivory tower. Just hop out from behind a wall, unload all your frags. I mean, you might die, but you wipe out everyone's shields at least. Maybe you can get a double, triple kill from your team, picking them up, you know?
Cool.
If you have a guy watch your back, he can mop up with an FMG or a BR. I mean, this way a two-person team can take out a four-man defensive position with fairly mediocre weapons. And finally, use these explosive things like fusion cores and the ones they got on the midship, whatever those junks are that are covey and stuff. A well-placed grenade can eliminate a sniper from lockout from blowing up all the fusion cores around him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you guys just triple kill on Foundation, the fusion cores.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Well, he also talks about plasmas here, and he's not so much an expert on plasmas, but he does know a few tricks. While trying to run away from an enemy, drop one behind you. If you're dying in a firefight, throw one in front of your enemy. The plasma smoke will distract him, and he'll have to hang back. If you can get one behind an enemy and one in front, he'll die because the damage caused by being in between two exploding grenades is actually greater than being hit by two grenades separately. And when trying to stick at close to medium range, drop your reticle so it's pointing at their hips. This gives you the best chance for nailing them in the legs of the chest. And if you toss one with the reticle on the body or the head where it would be for a regular weapon, you might throw past them. So this way, even if you miss, the sticky will land near enough to do possibly damage them anyways.
Yeah. Quality Jeverage writes in, says, when you're trying to stick someone with a plasma grenade, aim a little to the right, so you have an SMG out. You know, try and line up your target with the left quadrant of your crosshair.
Right, because you throw it with your left hand, and it actually ends up a little left of the crosshair.
So it's just the way it rolls. So.
Yep.
But also, in those laggy games, you'll throw it, and they might be gone by the time you even get it out.
Yeah, there, really. So.
Stupid lag. No one likes you. Lag.
Yeah, lag sucks. The 2 Cheat writes in, he says, if you're a connection host, throw a grenade right before pressing X to hijack a vehicle. And basically, if you do this right, you can blow up everyone in the vehicle and board it and not get killed yourself. It's pretty cool. Only works on warthogs, specters, and probably ghosts. The grenade will explode and kill everyone on board, earning you easy kills while only doing minimal damage to you, like I just said. So, yeah.
I've never tried that. I've heard that.
Like, yeah, I gotta try that too. I haven't tested that. I understand there's some tricky timing on that. So, in fact, maybe that would be a good subject for Podtacular TV to try out.
Yeah.
He also mentions using frag grenades to create a smoke screen and then moving out of the line of fire and finish your opponents off. Throw a sticky where the enemy is about to walk into and then finish them off. Also, spam your grenades. If you see someone on your radar about to come around the corner, toss a few around the corner, and maybe you'll finish them off with only your grenades. If the battle is getting too up close and personal, try to stick the guy. Maybe you'll stick him, or maybe he will, be hit by splash damage from the grenade. Good tips.
Yeah. Good points. G.A. Lewis writes in and says, there's a reason the grenade's the most commonly used weapon. Hail to the Clutch, probably the best. Just, you know, remember, plasma stick to things and practice bounce off them. So that's really, like, you know, if you're going to be trying to stick something, just make sure you're actually even using that one. You know, you just use both to your advantage. For around-the-corner kills, use a frag. For straight up or open fields, use a sticky. You know, remember, it's always good to chuck a grenade in a close corner or against a close wall that your enemy is near. Chances are the grenade will relatively explode and take out your enemy, at least half of the shields. You know?
Yeah.
But, like, on maps like Backwash, where there's no grenades unless you find them, you know, this kind of just proves to you how big they actually are and how much they actually
How important grenades are, because, like, you go to throw them and you realize you don't have any. It's like, oh my gosh, I could really use some grenades right now. Yeah. Well, I'm Number Q writes in. He says, if you are somewhat good at throwing frag grenades, you can easily take someone out by throwing a nade in the middle or at the end of the inclination of a ramp, such as Warlock or Ascension, and it will bounce up and explode at eye level, right in the enemy's face. It'll take out their shields, blind them, and shock them all at the same time, and if you have the BR, it's perfect for a 2-second nade to headshot kill. Also, learn to judge how far and fast the Master Chief can throw a plasma grenade, because if you can time it right, you can stick or kill people rather easily from a distance.
Yeah. So because it's all in the timing, man. All in the timing. Jade Raccoon writes in, says, grenades don't always need to be used to completely obliterate your enemy. Like, just go Sam Fisher, throw a grenade on the opposite side of the base to make your enemies look. You know, grenades can also be used to make a smoke screen, give you a few extra seconds of cover, while someone with a snap rifle or BR is trying to tap you. But there's no-scope guys will get you, though. They'll get you.
Yeah, no kidding.
They'll get you. I've gotten some no-scopes off through some thick grenade smoke. You know, sword guy will still see the reticle. No.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
So, but it does help. The smoke will give you some advantage.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm trying to use that more, to use the smoke screen effect of the frag grenades, you know, because it really, like, prevents them from seeing you. So, Deceiving Serpent writes in. He says, hey guys, got a little tip on sticking here. Make a custom game and put grenades on the map, regular shields, and a crappy starting weapon, and no weapons on the map. The rule of the game is if you can just stick people. Yeah, so it's, you know, basically a sticking custom game. He said he's played it like 3 times, and he's like 200% better at sticking now. So, good idea. Play a sticking custom game.
Yeah, it's a perfect idea. And also, the excellent addition to your custom game collection.
Yeah.
Alright, see, Sunburned Halo says on this map, it is wise to hold on to your grenades till you reach the cave mouths, plus because the one leading back into the back of the base, if you see someone running into the tunnel, throw a grenade up in the tunnel, see if they'll run out from the way they came in, they run back, chuck the grenade to the part where she came out, it will kill them instantly. You know, You just gotta, like, make people think they need a backup so they'll walk right back in your grenades.
Mm-hmm.
And that will work, like, half the time. You just gotta psych them out, like, oh, they're behind me. Oh, owned.
And he is talking about the map of the week here. And the map of the week this week is Burial Mounds.
Ooh, hey.
Yeah.
Fancy.
We got some very cool tips for Burial Mounds coming up right now. And let's start off with the same old guy here, Sunburn Halo. He says, when you get the beam rifle, run to the ruins, which is by the sword spawn point, and then go to the smallest part of the ruin and jump your way up. You can snipe there. It's not wise to camp, though. It's generally not wise to camp and snipe. You should punch off a few shots and find some new cover, because a good sniper never stays in one place for more than one shot.
Yeah. Totally. I'm Number Q says, at the start of a CTF and or. Are you playing CTF and assault?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. And or assault match.
Anyways, if you're playing CTF and or assault at the same time, if you start on the attacking team's side, beware of the classic ghost rush and steal your sniper move. I cannot stress it is enough to my teammates. How important it is not to leave the cubby sniper. If you lose the sniper, it's going to be hard to win the map. It's about 90% of the time of the map is just open space, just peek out in the open.
Yeah.
So you need to have that Covey sniper. You need to get him in a good spot. If, so permitting, you feel you need to, super jump that sniper. It's not fair, but do it if you can. If you can do it, go for it.
Fumo Jive does not endorse super jumping.
I'm not necessarily saying it's the best idea, but you can get some killer snipes. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because it gives you the unfair advantage to just totally own.
Oh, man, we're going to get some hate mail for that one.
I'm just saying.
But that's a good tip from my number Q for both offense and defense, whichever one you end up on. If you're offense, you can rush after the alien sniper with the ghost. If you're defense, try to prevent that from happening. Cool. So Phasmorphage, he this name, man. He like spelled it out phonetically for us, but even the phonetic spelling doesn't make any sense. Phasmorphage? I don't know, something like that. If it was phage, why didn't you just put an F instead of a PH? Anyway.
This guy says...
Yeah, this dude, who whatever his name is, says, make sure to hide in the shadows near the Covey sniper if you get it. From there, it's easy to snipe people heading for the rockets, and they won't be able to see you. If you spawn in the defensive base in one flag assault, or in one flag or an assault variant, there I go combining assault with CTF again, make sure you get the ghost and put it on the flag, so that if all else fails, you can blow up the ghost or kill the person who's planting the bomb or stealing the flag. That's a good idea. Because, you know, the ghost will work like a fusion core, kind of. Also, get all the nades you can get, because especially if you're good at bouncing them into places. There's many times when he's flipped a warthog over by using a single grenade and getting a double kill when it blows up by a second grenade.
And there is two plasma grenades you can grab by the turret inside the base, so don't forget those. Plasmas are
sweet,
handy. So, I think everyone knows they're there. That you get the guy who goes up and snipes, and then he picks them up when he goes there. So, Cap Master Shotgun says, a tip for CTF, when you go for the flag, just go up under the middle and make sure you're covered by the ribs. So you have a straight shot on the middle, and just go up, and there's a little crack on the front wall of the base where you can just crouch jump and get in the base, take the flag, and then just throw it out the front and carry it out. Once you get it out that front window, it's almost game over. It's pretty much like, it's like once you get past about like halfway the open courtyard there by the ribs.
Yeah.
If you can get about halfway through there, they can't stop you. You are unstoppable at that point, because by then you're just going to spawn like right where they...
You don't want to drop it in that little wall in the front of the base, though, because if you get it in there, that's going to be problems.
If you sometimes you can recover that, but unless you can get a warthog over there to save your butt...
It's really, yeah.
Chances are they're just going to be like swording you or sniping you before you can even
dropping
get
grenades. The even, you know, the thing is they can just jump from the top and come down with a shotgun and work you.
Yeah. And they're all going to be spawning right there, because that's where the flag's at.
Exactly, so that's bad. Gemini Ace writes in, he says, whether you're in the base or spawned by the warthog, send one member of your team to get the rockets. Bring them into the base to defend against the rush, or use it against the turrets and ghost. Good call.
Yeah. Because if you don't get those rockets, you're probably going to get your ghost or your warthog blown up. I think just about any map, you need to have that one guy that's going to go get them, because they're really that important.
Exactly.
Osiris2552 says, a good defensive strategy is to always get the sniper and get the guy who has the sniper to cover a friend who's going for rockets so he doesn't die, because it's such an open area. And when he has a rocket, place him inside the base so he can see the flag or bomb arm point. You'll successfully guard the base the majority of the round, if not the whole round. Just gotta watch for the guys trying to crouch jump in the front and steal your glory.
That's a good idea. Get the rocket guy to guard the flag plant, or dang it, the flag steal spot or the bomb plant spot. Probably a good idea. Also, of course, you know, rocket guy's got to be in charge of taking out the Jeep, because he has the easiest time of doing that. So if it's like, you know, coming around for the caves, just, you know, get in the edge of the back of the base where there's the opening, just take that dude out. Just don't get sniped. Okay, Taekwon Ken writes in. He says, here's a quick barrel mount strategy. A lot of people try to do the riding the hog hood thing. to get a drive-by capture. But while you're in the tunnel, you can pretty easily get grenaded. So here's a longer way, but it works well for assault especially. Have one guy grab the beam rifle, another grab the sword, one guy grab the bomb, and one guy hop in the hawk. The sniper guy will make sure no one gets the rockets, and the sword guy will run and grab the ghost, slicing anyone who's trying to get it as well. Then have the hog guy go crazy driving through the tunnel, honking the horn and saying fake stuff to the empty hog, like, hop on the hood, quick, hurry up! Everyone will rush into the tunnel with grenades. Then, after the sniper guy gets done sniping anyone who remains near the window, all three sneak in from the left side of the base, if you're facing the window from the ribs. The hog guy will die, but the sniper guy, who picked up the carbine in the ribs, will start firing down the length of the base at the cluster of people near the blown-up hog, while the sword guy covers the bomb so he can arm. Me and my friends use this a bunch and get loads of scores because the defenders always think we're going to do the drive-by flag pickup thing, especially the voice chant and the honking from the crazy hog guy. They never expect a sneak attack. That's an awesome strategy.
That is really cool. Yeah. Let's see. Code Star says, when you're start as the defender, grab the beam rifle and head for the ribs, as people call them, and you can usually get on top of the ribs when on top, you can see as most of the map as well as all the way into the base, so you can defend a guy who's arming a bomb or grabbing the flag. There's many ways to get up on the ribs, like just play this map by yourself and just kind of look for the ways and you can get the upper hand. Actually, it's not that hard, it's just I really don't think I have the time to do it.
Yeah.
I usually can't make it over to the beam rifle in time to actually get it. And if I do make it, there's someone who's better at it than me, so...
Yeah. I'm not the sniper either, obviously, no. But... Yeah. That's a good call for snipers there.
Sniper tip for you.
The Two Cheat gives us another one here. He writes in saying, one person can take the hog and make a distraction on the right side of the base while the other three sneak in to arm the bomb or grab the flag. Remember to crouch walk. Kind of like what the last person was saying here about that. Also, another good tip if you're playing against a less than stellar player is to take the warthog up the tunnel, run it straight at the bomb flag spot. If they're all standing right at the bridge, they'll be caught unaware and either splattered or forced off the bridge that is inside the base. This gives one person the time needed to grab the flag or arm the bomb, and the other two people have the time to jump out and get rid of any people still in the base. Only works on noobs. Basically what he's saying is this is a pretty basic strategy that's kind of obvious. But, you know, something to keep in mind anyway. Got a couple more here from the Two Cheat.
Yeah, the Two Cheat kind of surprised us with a whole bunch of
lots.
Stuff.
So, let's see. One or two more here. A really good defense formation is to have two people standing on the ramps with a battle rifle, and while two others lie in wait at the bottoms of the ramps with good close-range weapons like a sword or a noob combo. This way you can watch the tunnel entrance to the base, and you can guard against people sneaking in. And if you're playing a game with more than eight people, put two people at the sides of the tunnel and maybe someone in the tunnel for good measure. But be warned, the people at the top of the ramps and by the tunnel could be open to sniper fire, so be careful about that. And weapons.
Yeah, you gotta be very careful.
Yeah, the offense would do well to grab the plasma sword. That's sitting in the tunnel near the offense spawn. This would be useful only if you're sneaking into the base. If you use anywhere besides the close quarters of the defense base, you'll get killed, and thus giving the defense a handy weapon to guard against another sneak attack. Some people, think it's just a bad idea to bring the sword into the base altogether, because if they get it, then they have an awesome defense tool. So, I kind of agree on that. Anyway, the sniper is another weapon you need to control. It's an awesome weapon on either offense or defense, and the offense can use it to take out any opposition that's in the base. Defense can use it to keep people away. The rockets are not totally necessary to control it because it's really only useful to counteract the hog, and this can be done by a well-placed grenade. True, but it's not as easy. Okay, so next.
Yes. G.A. Lewis says, the Sniper and Warthog really own this map on CTF and Assault-type variants. Speed rushes, gradual scoring, and lucky chances are all relevant on this map, which makes it one of the most diverse, and for me, the most hated. I hate this map. If you ever needed a strategy for any one map, the Barrel Melts would probably be the map, and I would just point out that some not-so-no-brainers, everyone usually uses the Warthog Rush on offense, which can usually be a good thing for defensive teams. Even without the rockets, considering the Warthog is a huge target, we'll go down easily with a good grenade targeting. Fun how burial grounds and rocket and grenades are in the same episode, huh? So for offense, don't go for the tempting rockets at the beginning anyway. As the offensive fourth man is 99% of the time a sniper who's only going to be there to prevent them from actually getting the rockets. Besides, four from dudes is always better than three. Now that the Warthog is down or in your hands, there's no big strategy for the defensive team. If the flag is not captured within the first minute of gameplay, the round usually goes to the defensive team, as spawn killing should come pretty darn fast. Now, to counteract my defensive ramblings, he says, the number one used defensive strategy is, of course, the Warthog Rush. And if everyone uses it, must work right. Well, wrong. About 60% of the time away. From my time playing the defensive team, he says, always send out two people, which can be a huge plus for the offensive team. Once they're down anyway, wait for the one or two defensive guys that can come out of the base and take them down. Then the Warthog can be used for good measure. From here, there is no way for the Warthog to go at this point, but the way that seems to work the most for him is by going through the ribs with all four members, down, don't leave the sniper behind. Try to get those rockets and make your way all the way to the right of opening the base. Now, if you have the rockets, sniper, and pop with a sword in hand, it's hard not to win against one sniper, some dual wielders. This is a situation that you won't end up for offense, but, you know, something can kind of go wrong with the grenades. You know, the Warthog is really easy to take out those grenades, but beware, spawn killing will probably come faster than you think.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, Shodan 1028, boy, we got a lot of stuff here, man. Shodan 1028 writes in, he says, all that he can think of is grab the beam rifle. You have no idea how many times he sees people starting out in Team Slayer and Objective games, they go straight for the sniper rifle, then go hang out somewhere and own for the longest while because nobody is smart enough to grab the beam rifle and peg him. Come on, people, use your head.
Jade Raccoon writes in, one of the best strategies for CTF and Burial Mounts is to position one of your teammates on top of a full Warthog, drive him to the back while the player surfs, which is one we were talking about earlier, and they fake him out sometimes. But as he holds X, and you pass over the flag, he'll grab it and will be launched across the map into the ribs. Give him extra cover, and an awesome way to make people mad that don't know how to do it. It's also smart, because you have to take one guy, take the Ghost and the Assault, or CTF, and rush the Beam Rifle. Which, they say the oxygen doesn't always work, so it isn't much of a problem, but have your entire team stay back at a base with whatever weapons they can find for when the bomb normally usually makes the generic rush, because they always
right.
do.
The thing is, with that hog coming up around the cave and everything, I just don't even think it's a good idea anymore. You know, it's like the obvious route in, and the main problem with it is there's this hairpin 90-degree turn at the end that, for me, it's difficult to make while still accelerating. I usually have to make a 3-point turn right there to be able to get around that. And if you have to do that, all they have to do is throw a grenade or two in there and you're dead. So it just never seems to work for me. So, and especially with the thing on the hood, I mean, how are you going to get around that really tight corner with someone on the hood? You know, if you have to back up and move forward, they're going to slide right off. So, I mean, although it's a good idea, and I have done it and made it work before, but you know, it's a little difficult because of that, you're very vulnerable when you come around that corner.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aeropostale970 writes in. He says, Imperial Mounds, a great strategy for CTF is called the Warthog Boost. Drive the Warthog up in that cave and have a guy sit in the base and try to splatter your guy, and if done right, he'll blast through the base. When the guy's blasted, he needs to hold X, of course, and it'll automatically pick up the flag as he goes by. Usually the boost will take him way up to the rib cage or the spine of the rocks. And just in case, you should have a sniper waiting so he can snipe any pursuers. But this is an awesome strategy, and he's used it before. Also, one of the best ways to score is to use the old snipe in the middle routine. Have two guys, one with the sword and one with the BR, or in a Warthog, to go get the flag, and the object is to get the flag, drop it down so it's in the middle. when it's in the middle, have a sniper post and bring it through. Chances are the other team will pursue, and if they do, snipe him out. Since you're in the middle, the other team won't have very much cover from your snipes. One thing you should do is watch out for their sniper. As easy as this is for you, it's just as easy for them. So he recommends moving around a lot.
Yeah, totally. You know, snipers can take you out, kill you.
Yep.
I've seen them do it.
Well, we have finally reached the end of our list, guys, and that wraps up this episode, episode number 13.
13.
Unlucky 13.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not unlucky.
No, we're finally old enough to go see PG-13 movies.
Yeah.
Woo! We can go see cheesy horror films now.
Right. Well, guys, be sure to send in your any segment you want to via MP3 over to podtacular@gmail.com. You can also call in your voicemails on that line about, you know, sending in your custom games, your tips, all kinds of cool stuff over at 206-888-HALO.
And don't forget, it's October now. You can vote for us on Podcast Alley using our easy voting form over on the right side of the page at www.podtacular.com. I'm Spellcheck.
I'm Fumo Jive, and see you guys next episode.
Yeah, keep on trucking.
Keep on fragging.
There's only one thing left to say.